Good morning and welcome to another sermon on the good life. Over the past couple of weeks, we have been exploring the Beatitudes of Jesus, these statements that Jesus makes about the good life, the blessed life, the happy life. What does it look like? How do we access it? Today, we come to the final Beatitude. Now, just because we're at the eighth and the final Beatitude of Jesus doesn't mean that we're going to stop exploring the good life. Because over the next couple of weeks, as we move our way towards resurrection, we are going to keep asking ourselves the question, what truly is the good life? And I mentioned Resurrection Sunday. Huge announcement for us here at Awaken. We are going to be having a parking lot resurrection celebration. So, Easter morning, together in the parking lot, celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. Mark your calendars, have post-it notes all throughout your house, your apartment, put them in the car, put it in your phone, whatever you have to do so that you can be there Easter morning singing with us and being with us together in the flesh, because it's been a couple of months now, hasn't it? It's been about, 3 months or so? Since we gathered together. I understand we've been meeting digitally, we've been meeting online. It just isn't the same though, is it? So the fact that we can meet together again in person, that's cause for celebration in itself. Throw the resurrection on top of it and now you have a party. So I hope to see you there. There'll be more details, so look for them in the newsletters and in upcoming sermons. But today, because we still have a few weeks until we get there, today we have a sermon about the good life. We have a sermon about the blessed life that Jesus is offering us. And this eighth and final beatitude, it sort of acts like a conclusion to the past 7 weeks. It takes everywhere that we've been over these past 7 weeks, everything that we've been exploring together, Jesus sort of packs it all up into this one statement and then sends us off on our way into the world. All right, here's a whole bunch of things that I'm offering you, some teaching, some ways of living. Now I want you to go and practice them. Now I want you to go and experience them for yourself. So here it is, Matthew chapter 5, verse 10. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Are you laughing yet? Blessed are those who are persecuted. This is another head scratcher, is it not? I mean, I'm sure at this point, there's been enough of these already, but I'm sure here we get to the end and one of the disciples, if not multiple disciples, is pulling Jesus aside and saying, hey, do you really understand what you're saying? Do you know what you're teaching? Blessed are those who are that's not how it works, Jesus. Blessing and persecution, they don't go hand in hand. They're complete opposites. They're contradictory of each other. You can't go continue teaching this stuff. But yet here's Jesus. Blessed are those who are persecuted. Now, as we begin here, I just want to acknowledge something right up front. Persecution, it takes many different forms. For us here, and this is the form I want to look at for us today. For us here in the 21st century America, my guess is most of us, if not all of us listening to this right now, have never and hopefully will never face physical harm, physical persecution, the possibility of death or arrest because of our faith. Unfortunately, that is not a reality for other people around the world. For many people around the world, persecution, it means physical harm. It means the possibility of being arrested. Even the possibility of death for their beliefs, for their faith. So as we get started here, I just want to acknowledge persecution takes many, many different forms. And I don't want to take lightly. I don't want to not acknowledge that there are people right now in this world that we're sharing together who are physically being harmed because of their faith. People who have physically died because of their faith, their belief in Jesus. And I mean, think about Jesus' audience here and Matthew's original audience. There's the very good likelihood that those listening to what Jesus is saying, or the people reading Matthew's words would have been facing physical persecution, physical harm because of their pursuit of Jesus. I mean, many, if not all the disciples, the 12 disciples of Jesus, they went to their death because they were disciples, followers of Jesus. So persecution, it looks quite differently for different people, all at different parts of the world. Today, I simply want to look at it through the lens of the 21st century American persecution. Now, what Jesus says here is, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. Righteousness is a word that we have come across before, a couple of weeks ago. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. It was the fourth beatitude. And back in week four, we said righteousness can also be translated as justice. Blessed are those who are persecuted because they are seeking justice. Another way of saying this is wholeness, shalom, harmony, putting things that are broken back together. This is what God is up to in the world. God is taking all the things that are broken within us, within the world. God's restoring them. God's putting them back together. God is for equality of all people. God is for ensuring that all people have a voice, that all people have access to the things that they need in order to survive. God is for the repairing of the human heart. So as followers of Jesus, as Jesus being the representation of God and us following Jesus and this God, we are to be people who are at work in the world, putting things back together, repairing, restoring, seeking wholeness, seeking justice, creating a world that is fair for all people, a world that is just for every single person. So blessed are those who are persecuted because they're seeking righteousness. They're actively at work in the world, ensuring that everyone has the things that they need to survive, ensuring that all people have their voice heard, and everyone is raised to the same level, and no one is left behind. Blessed are you when you're persecuted because you are at work in the world, taking the things that have been broken, the things that are pulling us apart, and you're at work using your hands to heal. So what Jesus is saying here, this beatitude, this persecution, it comes because of action. It comes because you're not simply sitting on the sidelines watching the game of life go on, watching someone else play the game, but you are being an active participant. And if there's one thing we all know about being an active participant, you can be criticized. You can be insulted. You can be ridiculed. It's much easier to sit on the couch. It's much easier to stay out of the game because then no one can criticize you. Well, I guess you can be criticized for sitting out, for sitting on the sidelines. But if you are active, you're like a target. And when you say things, when you do things that other people don't agree with, that other people don't like, that goes against how other people see things or what other people believe, you become a target for their criticism. I mean, think about the past 7 weeks, the past seven Beatitudes, these statements that Jesus makes. Do you think some people might not like the things that Jesus is saying? Do you think that there's some room here in these particular ways of living for being insulted? I mean, just go back to week two. Blessed are those who mourn. We live in a culture that says, suck it up, especially for men. You can't show emotion. You can't cry. And if you do, might you be made fun of? Might you be ridiculed? But yet here's Jesus saying, be real. Be honest. Show your emotion. Yeah, it's a way of living that the world doesn't always agree with. Blessed are the meek. They'll inherit the earth. Yeah, people who show restraint. People who don't exercise their power in a way that is only good for themselves and their tribe. People who exercise their power, the gifts that they've been given, in a way that is good for all people. Could bring some criticism, could bring some insult, especially if you're using what you've been given for someone in a tribe other than yours. What about last week? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they'll be called the children of God. Yeah, you think if you were to stand outside of your tribe, if you were to offer some critique to your group, if you were to not take a stand with one of the dominant groups of the day, that people aren't going to begin lobbing insults and criticism your way? I mean, all these ways of living that Jesus is describing, they put a target on your back because you aren't adhering to the standard ways in which society and culture tells us to live in the world. Jesus is saying, it's not all about you. This way of living, the way to the good life, it's about love, forgiveness, grace, sacrifice. I mean, all things that our world doesn't always know what to do with. So of course, if you're moving in an opposite direction, if you're living a different type of life, you're going to draw some attention to yourself. People are going to begin to look at you funny. People might say certain things about you simply because of how you have decided to live your life. And here's what's really interesting about this beatitude. Now, some scholars will say that following this statement here, following this beatitude, is a ninth beatitude. Others will say it's a description of the eighth beatitude. Let's look at it for our purposes today as a description of the eighth beatitude that we're looking at this morning. It continues, verse 11, or Jesus continues, verse 11. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Okay. Notice this. Blessed are you when people insult you. Jesus doesn't say if people insult you, if it happens, if you come across it. Instead, he says when, almost as if he's acknowledging, he's letting the crowd in on a little secret. When you live this way, you're probably going to be insulted. And people are going to say false things about you. People are going to say evil things about you. People might attack you because what's happening is you're drawing something out of them, something about themselves that they don't like, because you're walking this path, which is true to yourself, and other people are feeling a bit uncomfortable because they're realizing that they're not walking a path that is truest to who they are. So what Jesus says is persecution, it's inevitable. When you live this way, it's going to come your way. So when you're insulted, when you're attacked on social media, when you're slighted, when you're left out, when you are left behind, when you're criticized, when you are misunderstood, here's what you're to do. You're to fight back. You're to attack them. If they insult you at a level 5, you're to take it to a level 7 and just to keep pressing the accelerator. No, this is not what Jesus says to do. Jesus doesn't say to fight back. They insult you, we'll insult them 10 times greater. Rather, here's what Jesus says, verse 12. Rejoice and be glad. Really? Okay, first you're telling us persecution is a good thing. Now you're telling us to actually take it to the next level and to rejoice about it, to celebrate. I mean, what in the world? What is Jesus talking about? Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. There's this great quote from Mother Teresa that I ran across a couple of years ago. And here's what she says. People are often unreasonable and self-centered. You ever run into any of those types of people? Forgive them anyway. If you're kind, people may accuse you of ulterior motives. Be kind anyway. If you're honest, people may cheat you. Be honest anyway. If you find happiness, people may be jealous. Be happy anyway. Don't let them sway your happiness. The good that you do today, it may be forgotten tomorrow. Do good anyway. Give the world the best you have, and it may never be enough. Give your best anyway. You ever lay in bed at night wondering, am I making a difference? Am I even moving the dial? Am I moving the needle at all? Am I having an impact? Am I helping? Is what I'm doing bringing any healing into the world? You can't see it. And you're haunted by these questions of, have I done enough? Is there more I can do? Yeah, even when you're questioning all of it, give your best. It's all you can do. Give your best regardless of the outcomes, regardless of if it looks like you're having an impact. Give your best anyway. For you see, in the end, it is between you and God. It was never between you and them anyway. And the wisdom that's found in these words. And I guarantee you, I'm going to have a few people email me, hey, can you please send me over that quote and email me or post a comment here on this YouTube video and I'll send them your way, because these are words to live by. The wisdom in these words. I mean, Mother Teresa has found something, has she not? She's found the good life. She's realized, yeah, when I give my best, when I give myself to pursuing the things that I know I must be pursuing, the things that fill my heart, even if other people disagree, if other people think I'm wasting my time, I'm going to still do them anyway. What Mother Teresa has come to realize is you can't control how people respond to you. You can't control outcomes. You can't control how things are going to go. I think that's a secret to the good life. It's realizing you give your best. You walk your path, the path that you know to be true for yourself. You walk the path of bringing healing to yourself, your family, your friends, everyone that you meet, that you come across, even the people that you will never meet. You give your life to that. Then all the naysayers, the critics, their voices begin to fade away. Because you come to realize it wasn't about you and them. It's not about the human accolades. It's not about filling your bank account. It's not about having the most likes on your posts. It's not about having everyone like you. It's not about having everyone speak well about you. It's about walking a path that brings life to your soul. Because that's the path that connects you with God. And the path of righteousness, of working to bring healing and putting things back together, that's the path that connects you with God. Notice Jesus, rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. Yeah. It's not about the human accolades. It's not about the human ways that we define success. It's about giving your life to something that matters and then entrusting those outcomes to God. Because as Mother Teresa says, in the end, it's never about you and them. It's about you and God. It's about you following the path that the divine spirit is leading you down, the path that Jesus is leading us down, which is the path into our truest humanity, a path that seeks wholeness for this world. See, what's really interesting is what Jesus says here, because he's saying something so profound. When he says, rejoice and be glad, what he's saying is, you can be happy now. You can be happy now, not in the future, We talked about this early on in this series. Oftentimes the Beatitudes are seen as a reward, a promise for something in the future, in a different time and space. What Jesus is saying is, you can be happy now. Notice theirs is the kingdom of God. You can be living in the good life now. We live in a world that thinks the good life comes to us when we have certain material items or when we've achieved a certain status. And Jesus is saying that that's not where the good life is found. That's fleeting. That wavers. That goes back and forth. Your happiness, if you're seeking your happiness in material goods or in people, outcomes, expectations being met, your happiness is going to go up. It's going to go down. It's going to be like a roller coaster. Jesus is grounding the good life. He's grounding happiness in something deeper, something that you yourself have control of. It's how you show up in the world each day. It's what you give your life to. It's the path that you choose to walk. I mean, this is what Mother Teresa said. You walk that path anyway. No matter what people say, people forget you. If you're persecuted, insulted, it's okay. You keep walking that path anyway because you come to realize that that is the only path that you can walk, the only path that fills your soul. See, we live in a world that easily takes offense. I remember growing up, one of the running jokes, probably intermediate school, maybe middle school, was if someone said something to you, insulted you, did something to you, you were going to sue them. It was probably around the time when this person had sued and won. They sued McDonald's because their coffee was too hot. And they won the case. And it was a laughing joke. I remember we would joke about this all the time in school. I don't know what a 13-year-old was doing joking about lawsuits, but apparently that's what we did in middle school growing up. Yeah, we live in a culture that is easily, easily offended. Is it a sign, possibly, that we're placing our happiness in things that are external? Are we placing our happiness in the words of others? How they respond to us? The outcomes, which in reality, we have absolutely no control over. See, in this beatitude, Jesus is giving us something different, something deeper upon which to ground our happiness. A happiness that isn't swayed by the externals, the things we have or the things we don't have, the things they say about us, the things they don't say about us. But rather, he's offering us the path to happiness. And it's a path that no one can take away from you. And it's a path that, according to Jesus, deeply, deeply connects you to God. Connects you with who you have been created to be all along. That, according to Jesus, walking that path, that leads to the good life, the blessed, happy life. So this week, may you come to discover the path to the good life. May you come to discover how to enact righteousness on the path that you're walking. May you seek after righteousness in all you do. May you be a person who works for the healing of this world in whatever form it takes. However you can bring healing, whoever you can bring healing to, may you discover that path for yourself. And as you do, may it bring joy, happiness, satisfaction. And if anyone comes along and criticizes you, if anyone comes along and mocks you or insults you, persecutes you, may all their words simply fall to the wayside. May you come to develop skin that is thick, skin that can handle the criticism, but may your heart become softer and softer so you can forgive and you can love and not be sabotaged by cynicism and bitterness. May you move forward from here full of love, grace and compassion for all people. Grace and peace to you this week, my friends.